And welcome back. All right, hour number three. Just as a postscript to our last hour, what we're watching here is extremely alarming and concerning, especially regarding this prion issue, which, remember, it takes time. It doesn't come on as quickly as myocarditis or other things. It takes a little more time to destroy the brain. But when it starts to go, I mean, some of the writing, not good, not good. Anyhow, we'll keep watching it for you. It's like reporting on the funeral of the human race, a lot of it. It's been targeted, and it's been hit, and they have succeeded in injecting and spreading this horrible bioweapon virus around. It's not good. All right, be careful out there. That's my best wisdom from both of us. All right, up this hour, Brother Nathaniel Kapner is back with us tonight. Brother Nathaniel, welcome back. How are you?
Shalom Aleichem.
Yeah, right.
Peace be unto you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And lots of Jewish investment money to Elon Musk. They got him tied up at Twitter, at X, at SpaceX, at Tesla, Jew investors.
I know.
Oh, man, he's tied in. He's hostage. I guess.
Well, I have it.
Video.
It's in the video. It's in the video. When he bought Twitter and converted it to X, he had to borrow a lot of money. That was a $45 billion purchase. And he sold his Tesla shares down. I think he has 13% of the company now to raise part of the capital. And the rest of it came from Jewish bankers. They own his ass, to put it in the vernacular. They own him. And he knows it.
Well, that's what they say. They say to each other at the synagogue meetings, we own his ass. That's what they say. And they smile and smirk. They got him. And they give him a little free speech to start with.
Yeah.
And then they have the policy, oh, we believe in free speech. However,
as long as you don't use it to say something we disagree with, and then
well,
there's a problem.
Speech. What is hate speech? Yeah.
Anything they disagree with.
There you go. Speech that is hate.
Right. I don't know what kind of phone you're on, but you're... Brother Nathaniel, hold on. Your phone is a little muddy. I don't know what you're on. It's not clear and sharp. Are you on a cell or a landline?
Now? Oh, how's that?
10,000 times better. Thank you.
Okay.
Welcome back.
All right, yeah. Elon Musk is hostage to Jewish investment money, Twitter X, SpaceX, Tesla, Bernard Marcus, Larry Fink, Larry Ellison, major investors. Yeah.
I know.
But only you and I know this. I mean, no one can, you know, connect the dots. I mean, I see it immediately. How do you have anything in the corporate world without Jewish money? You don't.
It's true. It's all true. Top of the homepage. At Rents, look at the Elon Musk Jewish hostage video and think about it. It's all there. In fact,
well,
let me play just...
Well, they sent him off to the theme park. You know, Auschwitz is a theme park.
It certainly is. I don't want to get into the Auschwitz thing, but he had to grovel and go and make the obligatory gestures and to keep that money
intact. Right, he looks
intact.
So sad. This is so horrible what happened before I was born. Who knew about it? No one knows about it, but it's so sad. All these Jewish corpses, you know, from the Allied bombing that starved everybody. Not a single gas chamber.
If they had to burn 6 million bodies, given the crematory that they had, each camp, each labor camp, each work camp had crematories, because they cremated people. They didn't have time to go out and bury them and put up a tombstone. So it's a horrible thing. We get that. But the bottom line is, the number of crematories the Germans built in these labor camps would have taken 75 years to burn 6 million corpses.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
You know, I don't work for anyone. I work for Jesus Christ. That's it. Not corporate dictates, not Jewish investors. I work for Jesus Christ, him only. So no one can tell me what to do and what to say and where to go. Okay, so I have a friend who works for a big German company, but I don't want to get into detail about it. He tells me, work does not make free. You just work, 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 and you work overtime without pay. That's the German way. He's been working for them for 10 years, okay? They are workers. So Auschwitz, works makes free. They put the Jews to work. That's what the Germans do. And they help with, support the war effort. You know, making clothes, you know, sewing clothes. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Right. That's true. It was vital to the war effort. The hard, heavy labor of building all the tunnels and underground complexes and things, they were laborers in these camps. They were vital to Germany. So they were not death camps. Absolutely.
They're very efficient people.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Enough of that, right?
Okay. Yeah, right, right. Let me just play for fun a little bit of this latest Rents video on Elon Musk being hostage to Jewish money. Hold on.
Yeah, I can chime in with what I know about Jewish investments.
Good.
Investors.
Right.
I grew up in it, Jeff, in my Jewish home.
Gotcha.
We had the Wall Street Journal on the kitchen table morning, evening, night.
I forget how much they charge per day now for the Wall Street Journal subscription. It's like $5 or $6 a day or some crazy
thing. Yeah, well, a sponsor of mine gets it for me. He gets me Financial Times, he gets me Bloomberg, he gets me, and this is where you understand globalism. That's where you get the nuts and bolts and the details of globalism. That's where you
get
it.
Got it. Yeah. All right. Here's a little bit of the video for you here. It's a good one.
Big media and big corporations have formed a cabal to direct advertising, which is the lifeblood of both the mainstream and alternative media. At the pinnacle of the cabal is Klaus Schwab's unelected and nefarious World Economic Forum, who directs policy from high up. Is it any wonder that all mainstream media and big tech that is 96% Jewish, owned or run, all support and advance the same narratives and censor, shadow ban, and deplatform any person or independent producer who creates unapproved wrong-think narratives? The World Federation of Advertisers, WFA, and Global Alliance for Responsible Media, known as GARM, are the day-to-day gatekeepers of what you read, hear, and see by deciding what gets advertising money. If content isn't in line with WEF and GARM policy, it doesn't receive any money, while the alternative media fringe dwellers have to scrape the edges to get advertisers selling water filters, supplements, gold and silver, or survivalist equipment and paraphernalia. This new media fringe dweller status is at the heart of Elon Musk's dilemma at X, which is deemed not Jewish friendly and is critical of Israel because it gives so-called anti-Semites a platform and doesn't cancel them fast enough, which is at odds with Musk's desire for X to be the village square of free speech. The new space's feature on X seeks to bring group reason to unreasonable ideas, opinions, notions, and thoughts. In essence, Spaces is chat space to rebut any speaker in the village square where odious free speech is challenged with more free speech. The media gatekeepers don't want a village square where unapproved speakers can voice their own version of truths, particularly if it involves transgenders, LGBTQs, climate change, diversity, equity, and inclusion, open borders, vaccines, or Jews in Israel. So enter Jonathan Greenblatt's ADL that pressures advertisers to pull advertising from anyone it considers a recalcitrant towards Jews in Israel. When Greenblatt had advertising money pulled from Musk's X by the likes of Disney, Bud, Hershey, Procter & Gamble, and Lego, Greenblatt didn't need to call each corporation direct. All he needed to do was call GARM to blacklist Musk's X. And Musk was cooked. He lost 60% of X's advertising revenue overnight. While Elon Musk might have originally been oblivious to GARM, as Tesla didn't advertise, and nor was Tesla a member of the World Federation of Advertisers, or WFA, Musk's boyish naivety was quickly rectified when he appointed as ex-CEO a seasoned advertising industry insider in Linda Yaccarino, who does understand how advertising works, for she previously held the position of chairman of global advertising and partnerships for NBC Universal. If Musk wants X to survive, it has to make good and align X with GARM's woke and politically correct policies coming out of the social laboratories of the World Economic Forum World Government Aspirant, where Jews and Israel are deemed untouchables.
Okay, you can watch the whole thing up there. It's at the top of the homepage. Spread it around. It's good thinking. It's provocative, so it'll help you see things perhaps a little more clearly if you're just new to this game of reality. It's pretty tough out there. Now, you have a new video out, Brother Nathaniel. We're going to play that here in a few minutes. Talk to us about why you made this video. It's your prophecy, your prediction, so to speak, your look ahead for 2024 forecast.
Yeah, I'm just trying to put people on the right track. I mean, don't get all positive that all of a sudden the goy is awake. Now, my take on this, because I talk to a lot of people, and people call me, write to me every day, and I talk to them. I want to hear their thoughts, okay? Now, what I am beginning to really see, Jeff, is that most of the goyim are asleep, give them their fries and their widescreen TV, and they're happy, okay? The whole bread and circus deal that the Jews use for the goyim. But then you have the goyim who do know. They're not doing fries. They're not doing widescreen TV, okay? But they have been silenced through the Jewish framework of self-censorship of the goyim. They're scared. Now, I just talked to a very prominent person. He's not Jewish. Who's been on to the Jewish power for years. But what I gathered from my talk, he's scared. He's self-censoring. Nobody can know where he lives. He's going to get doxxed. Nobody can know anything about him. No pictures, nothing. Well, what about me? Do I care about being doxxed? You know, if we're going to fight for something that we believe in, for a cause that we have to oppose, we have to be ready to be doxxed. We have to be ready for it to be slandered. We have to be ready for a reputation to be ruined. And then, otherwise, it's no good. So you have the goyim who are asleep, and you have the goyim who are self-censoring. This is a very, very serious issue, Jeff.
I couldn't agree more. These are tumultuous, terrifically complicated times. And I don't expect the masses to ever really get a hold of it before it's going to be over for a lot of them. We're in real trouble, big trouble. As predicted, it's all part of the plan, all laid out. All right, here's your video. Forecast.
Oh, Jeff, before you play it, yeah. I need the Rents, you know, chiming in to give his insights into it.
All right.
No, I do, because you've been at this thing longer than anybody. You've been at this thing longer than Alex Jones. You've certainly been longer than Sue Peters. Sue Peters is just coming on board with this. And he's good, okay? But I don't think anybody has the whole gamut under his, you know, breath and under his thumb like Jeff Rents. And I'm not saying that to flatter you. I mean, we go back, Jeff. We go back a long time. And you know this whole orbit from every aspect, every component, from all parts of the world. You do. So I'm going to give you that accreditation. I am.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. It's been 30 years, and I should certainly hope that I've learned some things, and I try to learn every day. All right, here. I haven't seen the video, dear friends, so I'll watch it with you and listen
to it. All right, so stop it where you feel you wanted to interact, okay?
Well,
and we'll hear what Rents has to say, okay?
Well, listen, if I don't say anything, I'm just listening intently. So, all right.
Okay.
Let's find out.
Gotcha.
It's looking propitious for Jewish interest in 2024. I mean, with Jews like Mayorkas opening the southern border, Hebes like our Finkel at Justice doing all kinds of injustice, Yiddishy things like Mandy Cohen slitting the clot shot into your veins, and Yids like Blinken and Nudelman fueling wars on distant shores. Any hopes for America First is a ship that ain't sailing anymore. Jonathan Greenblatt of the Pro-Defecation League, the PDL of the ADL, sets the record straight.
I think where we draw the line is being anti-Zionist. Okay. What I mean by that is this ideology that says, I oppose the existence of the Jewish state. I oppose the legitimacy of Jews having the right to self-determination. I oppose the whole notion that Jewish people should be able to live in their ancestral homeland.
And go, move there. The enraged Muslims will take care of your Jewish arse there. Greenblatt's romance with anti-Semitism will rise to the fore in 2024. Anti-Semitism is essential for the Jew. He can't live without it. Because in and of himself, his godless self, the Jew has no intrinsic inner meaning of existence. The Jew's only meaning consists in his being disliked.
Now that's a very interesting statement right there. When you think about this, what is the primary platform that organized international Jewry usually operates from? It's that of victimhood. Go back to the Holocaust. Go back far as you want. They've been thrown out of over 1,000 different nations, countries, nation states, cities for 3,000 years. Always the victim. Remember that. And they know that Western European white Christians have a soft spot for people in general or victims in specific. And they'll reach out to them, so they play this card constantly, and it's got to be recognized for what it is. It's a social psychological trap, and just keep listening. This is very well written. Good job.
Thank you.
Hated, I must struggle to live among adversaries. I have enemies all around me. I am the eternal victim.
There you go.
The Jew is the eternal outsider, yet always the inveigling insider.
Yeah.
The Jew has to be hated to give him meaning, and will pay Greenblatt millions of dollars to romance the ever-rising anti-Semitism in charts and statistics on every TV show that ever existed. All the while, the Jew lives in gated communities selected to every government office and enjoys the good life. Yet the Jew is the tormentor. The Jew is the censor. The Jew is the Christ hater. The Jew is the criminal stalker.
Anti-Zionism, I've long said, is anti-Semitism. I was wrong. Anti-Zionism is genocide.
Oh, please. Please.
Please.
God, a simple geopolitical movement, Zionism, is now genocide. Unreal. I shouldn't say it's simple, but these people are ridiculous. The way they reverse everything, it's all reverse projection. They're master psycho. You know what they are? They're master psycho terrorists. They know how to play the goy mind, and they play it into the ground.
And on every TV show that ever lives, Andrea Mitchell,
right.
And even the Sixers, interview them.
I know. All right, look.
I'm just disgusted, Jeff.
And I'm not going to go into this thing about not all Jews are the same. That's a given. We're smart people here. We know that. But the party line and the mechanism of domination and global hegemony is given. It's a given. You understand it. You know what's being done to you now.
Of course, but it's the collective Jew. Jews work as a collective. Yeah, there's a nice Jewish guy. He mows the lawn next door. I like him. He tells a few jokes. But he goes back inside and he donates the Greenblatt. He donates
right,
the APAC. He donates the World Jewish Congress. He goes to the synagogue of Satan. He doesn't exist as an individual. He exists as a collective. And
thank you.
Jesus Christ calls it the synagogue of Satan.
Right.
It's always in the collective realm. That's the Jews' beginning from inception, and that exists until today. And it's for the purpose of Jewish interests only.
They're a club. They stick together, and understandably, and any successful organization is going to share those aspects of getting. If the bell rings, how many Jews will answer? Let's say the Jewish bell rings. In other words, that's a call to arms. How many Jews will answer as Jews? 97%, 98%, probably nearly all of them will answer the bell.
This blockade, Hamas, has been under a severe blockade. They even forbade the little children to have chocolate in Gaza.
But where were all these protesters, Tikkun Olam, and, you know, all these guys are shutting down the freeway, whatever. They're scared that this Gaza thing, this genocide, is going to fall back on all Jews, including them, the great, you know, liberals, the great leftists, the great, you know, enlightened ones, that they'll be called anti-Semites too, that are going out now and protesting. Well, where were you in 2006? Where were you in 2012 when they started massacring the children in Gaza? No, because now it's in your face, this genocide, so they're scared. So I don't see anything sincere about it.
All right. Very good. Let's get back to your video here. This is an excellent one. They're all good.
And deny it. We see this genocide of the Jews in Gaza every day. You can't miss it. Schumer gets his arms blown off. Nadler and Wasserberg Schultz lose their legs in a Gaza hospital. And Greenblatt himself, trying with all his might and with a suitcase full of Jew-American dollars to get back to his beloved ancestral homeland, gets detoured into some refugee camp in Gaza, then gets blown to smithereens. They say the medium is the message. Others say it's data that matters. But it's the optics that really counts.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Besides the sexual overtones with a subliminal undertone, the optics send a subconscious code to the goyim. It's a Negroish, Hinduish mix of a blackish and brownish blendish that sits across from a Jewish, male-femaleish, militaryish mix of authoritarianish and all-pervasive inclusionish. Federico Fellini would be envious. Surrealistic optics sink deep into subconscious that seeps an attitudinal code into the brain of unthinking Goyish youth. Now, give a listen.
And so, do you have anything you want to say to those that are in the public health sector or those that may watch this? You know, what do they need to...
This is an interview of Rachel Levine, okay? The Surgeon General. What is she? I don't know what her title. I guess that's what it is. Anyway.
The government freak that's on every television show, too, with after Jonathan Greenblatt or before. It's the same thing, okay? Yeah. Wherever you go, there's a Jew in your face.
It's true. it's inarguable. Here we go.
About anything going forward.
Well, the impacts of COVID-19 have been so significant, and the acute impacts of COVID-19, and they have shown us the depth and breadth of the health disparities that exist in our nation, particularly for communities of color, but also for other communities, for example, the LGBTQI+ community. And so, you know, we have to address those health disparities. We have to take this health equity lens. I'm a positive and optimistic person, and I think working together,
get it? Match the optics of a happy get-together of inclusive mongrelistic Jewish transgenderism joined with buzzies like impact, disparities, communities of color, LGBTQI+, equity, and you got the memes that please the heaves to drive the stupid American goy into a Jewish squeeze.
That's pretty funny. The Jewish American goy. The Jewish American goy. All right, here we go.
My dear Goyisha friends, you can have your fries and eat it too. Widescreen TVs and halftime football sleaze. Last year you were screwed by the Jews and didn't even know it. Forecast 24, you're still screwed by the Jews, but maybe you're just beginning to notice.
I guess better late than never, even though it's awfully damn late in the game.
We laugh at it, but we laugh.
What they have done, honestly, and I will say it again, I have no hesitance about it. I actually tip my hat to them and their organizational skills and what they've been able to figure out massively, psychologically, about how to handle the world and manipulate it and reconfigure it into what they want. They've done it. No other minority group has ever been this successful. It's astounding. And everything you say is true. It's all true. And it is what it is. If these were Hindus, we'd be talking about it the same way, but that's a large group. Any small group, any small sect that does this much to literally reconfigure the planet to their liking that's an astounding achievement, and they've done it.
Yeah. I just said something on the digital currency. You know, the central bank digital currency, CBDC, right. It's called.
Yeah.
Well, this really is going to be the one world government, global monetary system. It really is.
Sure it is. Yeah, they know it's
and
coming.
The two dudes who are head this up are Jamie Dimon, and I don't want anyone to tell me he's a Gentile. He's not. He's a Jew. He married a Jewish girl, and he is connected and attached by ancestry to a big Jewish banking family in Thessaloniki, which was a big Jewish realm for Jewish money power.
Okay.
And that's in Greece, okay? So he's a Jew, and the other one is David Solomon, the CEO of Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs, nobody knows it but me, because I knew this even growing up with my dad in the Wall Street Journal and all that deal. It was my job to go up to Grace's and get that was a local grocery store, and get the Wall Street Journal. That was my job to get that. So who runs Goldman Sachs? It's the Feinberg family in New York City, but they're behind the scenes. And it started with a great-grandfather, and then his son, and his son. It's a dynasty, really. It's the Goldman Sachs dynasty. And maybe they're taking the place of the Rothschild dynasty. But they are the big boys. David Solomon at Goldman Sachs and Jamie Dimon, they are heading up the digital currency. It's coming. There's no way it's going to stop, because the goyim are asleep, and the other goyim are scared.
What will be interesting—
That's the problem.
Brother Nathaniel, is when they do employ their digital currency, which will happen, how this is going to factor into, what is it, once or twice a year we seem to have to pass a new debt ceiling to keep the Jewish bankers happily loaning us our money at interest. It's crazy. I wonder how this will impact the digital aspect of it when it all becomes digital units, whatever they're called. We'll find out. Look, how ridiculous is this? We owe the Jewish bankers, the 10 Federal Reserve banks, 33 or 34, who's counting, trillion dollars. That money will never be paid back. What if they call the loans in? I don't know what paperwork is involved and how it's structured, but could they call that national debt in and due and payable under any circumstance? Maybe, if they did. What would happen? What would that mean? Do they take ownership of these formerly United States of America for $34 trillion? Or do they just take a few states? How would it work? I don't know if it can even be done. It's totally illegal and unconstitutional just going in. The debt should simply be renounced by a righteous patriotic Congress and an executive branch and upheld by the Supreme Court. It's illegal. It's not constitutional. But I don't see that happening.
Every time Jamie Dimon and David Solomon and the Feinberg family goes to sleep, they have a little mantra. Give me control of Jamaica's money, and I don't care who makes its laws.
No,
I don't care what's constitutional or unconstitutional. No. I don't care if Trump gets in and buys it.
They don't. They own it all. They have Trump leveraged to the max. They've refinanced his empire. They own him. Trump is just a player. There's no one in organized politics at that level who is a free man or a free woman. None of them.
Yeah.
Not even RFK Jr.
I have a clip with him with Wilbur Ross. Now, Wilbur Ross is the one he appointed as his economic advisor.
Yeah.
He was in charge of refinancing bankruptcies. For the Rothschild, Nathan Rothschild's son, Jacob Rothschild. He was in charge of that department. So Trump comes running to him and says, get me out of this bankruptcy that I'm in with Taj Mahal. Carl Icahn tried to help him. He couldn't. But he had to go to the big boys. So, okay, we'll get you out. Give me a good job. And he gave him a good job. He's economic advisor. And Trump's going to change anything? They'll give him a little rope. They'll make him build a wall. They give him something, you know, to make it. If he gets in,
that's
if they
right.
let him in,
They'll give them a little something, and everyone goes, USA, USA. And maybe they're sick of this Ukraine deal, and he'll get them out of it. And Jamie Dimon and David Solomon will buy up all their assets. Yeah, okay. And Trump will say, I'm the great hero. I stopped the Ukraine war. But Jamie Dimon already decided he wants to stop it, okay? So he'll let Trump take the credit. That's how the Jews work.
They're very shrewd.
He's tied into the Jewish
you.
Money power. Okay.
I
yeah.
can't tell
Musk
you.
Musk is tied into the Jewish money power. Yeah.
I'm endlessly impressed with how they've done it. It just really is amazing. Gotten away with it all.
It started in 1913.
That's right. They found
the
weakness.
I tell people, don't use the word Zionist. There was no huge Zionist project. Yeah, it was an undertone, of course, to get us into World War One, to take over the Ottomans' realm in the Middle East or the Near East. Okay, so, yeah. But in 1913, there wasn't any Zionists. We didn't call anyone Zionists. They were Jews. So yeah, they send a Samuel Utemeyer of the World Jewish Congress to Woodrow Wilson, okay? Hey, boy, we saw, we got pictures. You know, you're shacking up with that woman. I think it was called the Peck scandal. Well, you were married. Well, you were the dean of Princeton. Now we want World War One, Woodrow. What do you want to do? He got us into World War One. He got us into the income tax law, and he got us into the Federal Reserve Bank. It's not federal, the system. It's not, there's no reserves. Now, this thing about the income tax, I want to warn some people. This Restore Freedom rally is sponsored by some guy, some Pakistani, I don't know what he is, okay? His name is Payman Mahakakaka. I don't know what it is, okay? He wears a bow tie or a tie with an American flag on it, okay? That's
right.
A dead giveaway, okay?
Sure it is.
That this guy's a shyster. Now he is telling people it's unconstitutional to pay income tax, and these USA people and patriots are buying into this. You will go to jail because the IRS is income tax.
Be careful. Be careful.
Well, two of his clients were thrown in prison by the DOJ. There's a big announcement. I'm telling people, don't go to this Restore Freedom rally.
No, don't.
You're going to be seen with this guy. You're going to be on a data bank.
Every face will be photographed. Everybody will be ID'd, and you'll be in the database. Don't go near it. They're the great crusader for revealing the income tax to be completely unconstitutional and a fraud was Erwin Schiff. I had Erwin on the program a number of times, and Erwin was right. There's no grounds for it. Erwin died in prison. Okay?
Yeah.
There you go. So, no, don't play those games.
Well, of course, I have a good friend who, you know, helped me a lot. And he says, oh, brother, I went to court three times and I fought them. And then 2 weeks later, the sheriffs come banging on his door. He opens it. They come in with guns. They break his safe. And they made a plea deal with him. And, okay, so he didn't go to jail, but his hands are tied on everything now for the next 15 years. Don't go there. Don't do this thing. It's not going to work on your behalf. It ain't.
No. Very good advice. Be careful. But there are, unfortunately, so many people out there who aren't listening to you. They don't understand, and it'll be appealing to them. And there are constitutional grounds to declare the whole thing a fraud. And it is, and it's wrong. But you're not looking at who's running the country here. You don't have a chance.
And who has the power to enforce these laws?
Right.
Guns,
well,
cops,
you know,
sheriffs.
That's a whole nother interesting topic, enforcing the laws. If you think about the border invasion and understand that we don't need any legislation here. We have all the laws already on the books, enacted and passed. They're just not being enforced. Nobody will do it. So there.
Well, why don't you tell this scumball Johnson this,
problem.
Jeff? This scumball Johnson says, well, we want to know more about Ukraine before we give anything. Well, why don't you tell this scumball who doesn't want a ceasefire? He just loves to see children's arms cut off. He just loves to see them amputated without any kind of the anesthetic. Because he's owned by the Jew. Yet every night he prays to Jesus. Okay, this is taking the name of the Lord God in vain. He's breaking the commandments, all right? This great Christian. I despise these people. I despise these people, Jesus this, Jesus that. And you start digging a little bit. You don't have to dig too much. You find out that they're the most worldly, carnal person that ever existed. I have a friend, oh, Jesus this, Jesus that, he's evangelical. Oh, we have to fight, oh, the wokeness. Yet, he is going to this Restore Rally Freedom show. And he wants to go because he's taking his children to Disneyland. Oh. I said, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good time, and it's...
Well...
You see?
They'll end up on the wrong end of the database, unfortunately. It's sad. It's sad.
But why would any Christian want to go to Disneyland? Why?
I
they have homosexual
not
week.
Now? Well, and poor Walt Disney. What a great man he was. Vision. He loved children in the best sense of the term. Now you say that, and... But he created Disneyland. He created all those wonderful movies. And his name has been far more than dragged through the muck. It has been eviscerated. It stands now for DEI, pedophilia, perversion, sexualizing children, and so much more. And Walt, if he's observing this, is probably in agony watching what they've done to his name and his dream.
It's very sad. And no one who calls himself by the name of Christ, Christian, it's an honorable, wonderful name, should be giving money and going to Disneyland. But he's killing my children.
I agree. No, I couldn't agree more.
I said, don't talk to me about Jesus anymore. I don't want to hear it.
Well, I went to Disneyland as a little kid, and it was absolutely wonderful. It was still Walt. The energy was there. The kindness was there. The decency was there. The cleanliness was there. And now look at it. It's just astounding what's happened to it. Well, they just waited for him to die of lung cancer. And they got it.
Yeah. All right. I'm hot to trot here. I'm just pretty disgusted, Jeff. I really am.
It's a time to be disgusted, for God's sakes. If we're never... If there is any chance at all we're going to survive, disgust has to be universal right now. And that has to be a launching pad for far more than disgust. Or we're not going to be here.
You know, I'm glad you put that out, that you said that, because we have a great saint. He was recently canonized, a recent saint, St. Paisios of the Holy Mountain. He said this in 1980, a great database is coming, run by the Jews. And if any of our priests are not in jail at the turn of the century, 2000, they're not standing up for Jesus. Okay, St. Pius is a holy mountain. So someone says, well, we can't talk about politics. It's too painful. He says, you need to be in pain. You need to be in pain. Because what's coming is going to be so painful for the world and for people and for your children. You need to be in pain. Now, these are the kind of saints I like. Because they tell it like it is, and then nicey-nicey, let's just be happy, let's just pray to Jesus, and let everyone get slaughtered, let the Jews take over the Christ killers, let them do the transgenderism, let's just go into our corner and pray. I'm disgusted with these people. Okay, I really am.
I don't blame you. Look at this alleged government, which is not our government anymore. It's a regime. We've been overthrown. I think everybody with a brain knows that. It's being run by Obama and his other communist Bolsheviks.
It's the Sanhedrin. That's our government. Yeah.
That's right.
It's the Sanhedrin.
Well, who
yeah.
created communism and Bolshevism? You got to remember that. This is a Jewish thing, the whole thing. Anyhow, look at the government. It's 75 to 80% overtly Jewish, the American government. And talk about overrepresentation, for God's sakes. Look also at David Duke talks about this. At the representative figures of Ivy League universities and colleges in this country. It's way over the top. It's 50% Jewish in many of them, and they represent 2% of the population. So, and you look at the people. It's always the names. You can always pick them out. Mandy Cohen, little Mandy Cohen, she's like a little dimwit cheerleader, but she's part of the overall protocol here. They know what they're doing. Rochelle Walensky before her. I mean, this is not what you'd call leadership
Robert
in the field. Robert Redfield.
Yeah,
Redfield.
Yep. Yeah, he's a Jew, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Sure.
It's really something to watch what's going on here. It really is.
Yeah, people have said to me, oh, Joe Biden, this is a Catholic regime. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
I didn't know that Mary Garfinkel is Catholic and goes to Roman Catholic Mass. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Mayorkas is Roman Catholic. I may sound it, but he's a Jew. I didn't know that Jeff Zients, who was the COVID czar, the clot shot, the poison in your veins, he is now chief of staff. He took over for Ron Klain, another Jew. I mean, come on, it's
75 or 80% It's through the roof. It's through the roof. Again, another indication, another portrayal of how they've taken over. They get one in, they bring another one in, they always promote their own, and that's the game. They're very smart. I just can't knock them. They're not stupid.
Somebody contacted me recently who used to work for the State Department. He told me that Blinken is scared to death of Nudelman. He's just frightened of her, that she runs it, not him.
Oh, interesting. That's funny.
Yeah.
He seems like a real limp-wristed weirdo. Not impressive.
Yeah. Oh, she got
Vicki Noodleman is a very fierce warrior. That woman is, she's bad news.
She's connected to the whole neocon cabal, the Jewish neocon cabal, to the KKK.
And don't forget who's running. The majority of Jews now are allegedly, apparently, from what I understand, tied into the whole Chabad Lubavitch sect.
No, not really. No, it's not
true. I've read several articles.
All
right, what's the deal with Lubavitchers?
Yeah, I'm not with Chabad anymore. It's this bejerkness. He's a total jerk, says I still am. I just get attacked. You know, no matter what I say, people find a reason to attack me and discredit me. I was with Chabad for 3 years. I sent him to Sholem Posner. Anyone in Chabad who's older, Lubavitch, they know Sholem Posner. He was quite a scholar and a prominent rabbi, just right under Menachem Schneerson, just right under him. I sent it under him, for 3 years. I know Chabad very well, and most Jews, like my dad, for instance, was a Jewish supremacist. He was, I'll say it, okay? And he was not Zionist. He was anti-Zionist. You can say, how do you pop yourself in the middle of the Islamic world, he said, which was both Arab and Persian, which my dad pointed out to me, and think you're going to survive? You're not. So my dad said this was, I think, in 1957 he told me this. He says, I'll give them 100 years, that's it. Israel will be no more. It cannot exist. But my dad and his friends, who were wealthy people in the synagogue, they all looked down on these Chabad Hasids, this crude, ignoramus, smelly, stinky. They looked down on them. They did. My dad looked down on them. So most Jews, like David Solomon and Lloyd Blankfein, it's not there anymore, the other guy, Jamie Dimon, Larry Fink, They look down on them with contempt. They're not one of them. They really are. Now, maybe they'll throw them some money. But, Lubavitch doesn't really need anyone to throw them money. They may pretend they do. They are tied into the Satmar Hasid's Diamond District. But I can give a whole dissertation on that whole, the diamond business. I know all about it and who runs it and where and when the Lubavitches came in the 50s. They were brought in because of their Russian contacts. But the Satmar group was Hungarian. They really run it. So if the Lubavitch are doing anything like child trafficking or ritual sex or satanic stuff, which is they're not doing, and I'll be attacked by this, by what I'm saying. I don't care, okay, because I just deal with facts. They throw them out of the diamond business in a minute. That'd be the end of all their money in their Chabad houses throughout the world. That's all I want to say about that, Jeff.
One thing I'd like to say, if anyone doubts this, you really should read, for example, some of Rabbi Schneerson's writings about Goyim and understand that the Lubavitchers, however powerful they may or may not be, they make no bones about it. Schneerson hated Goyim. Read the hate. You want to see Jewish supremacy in writing? It's right there. Read his. He's only been dead about 20 years, something like that.
Yeah, the Talmud has to be read in Arabic. It was written in Arabic, not even Hebrew. And any English translation is sterilized.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
The Talmud.
The Talmud is written in Arabic. The Hasids read it in Arabic, Aramaic, I should say. Uh-huh. That's the language it was written in Babylon. They try to teach me how to do it, and I'm just not good in English, so I couldn't do it. In languages. This is not my thing. I'm not good in languages. But that's the Hasids read it in Aramaic. Now, the Aramaics do speak of the Gentile soul does not have a divine orientation like the Jewish soul. So all Jews, no matter what they are, even Epstein, even me, according to the Hasids and the Talmudists, have a divinely oriented, given Jewish soul. So that's why they constantly reach out to me. That's why they will constantly talk to me. That's why I still have some communication with Chabad people, because they still see me with this divinely oriented, infused Jewish soul. But the Gentile doesn't have it, you see? So that's why he's subhuman, because he doesn't have that. So that's what's going on there. And Maimonides did say that, but you have to read it in his language, which was Aramaic, because he was involved with the Islamic world. He was a physician to the a famous Ottoman Empire ruler.
Got it.
And he said that they're monkeys. They're just a step above monkeys, blacks, in Gentiles, and so that's where you get this animal subhuman thing. Mm-hmm. So they'll treat them like that. So it's not just Menachem Shearson. It's in the Talmud. So just your regular standard Orthodox Jew, like my father, like my father. I'm not going to paint him with all these wonderful, you know, bright colors, same thing, And I always go back to this. I come from a very large Jewish family, called the Mishpucha. If I said something stupid, my uncles would say, well, you have a goyish kup. Well, what does that mean? You think like a Jew. I said something stupid. You think like a goy. You have a goyish kup. So that's that whole disparaging, looking down on the goyim. That's why the Jews have this urge, this drive. It's hell-bent. We have to tell the goy how to think. We have to tell the goy how to rule. We have to tell the goy what laws to... we have to do the debriefings. Mm-hmm. We have to write the laws for them, then we'll have the goy sign it. That's the Jewish thinking, because the goy is too stupid to know. And that's why I mock sometimes, you stupid goyim. But I'm just trying to put the words that the Jews look down upon them. Don't be so stupid anymore. And now the Jews have silenced you. They've made you self-censor. Don't you see it? That you don't want to be doxxed? That you're scared that you're having your face anywhere? Yeah. Oh, I won't be on Rumble to see my face. They self-censored you.
Yeah.
This is just very sad.
Very, very slick psychology they play on a massive level. Very slick. Here's another one. We talk about Jewish supremacy and the hatred that flows from that supremacy. Look at Gaza. Please understand what's happening there is done with joy and glee by the average Jewish member in the military. They love to kill these Palestinian people. They have no problem. The snipers take out pregnant women. That's the biggest prize they can get. It goes on and on. Now what they're doing, here's the latest. Since we got 2 million plus Palestinians in Gaza who are starving, the Jews literally are now dropping from American jets all over Gaza canned foods. But God help you if you open up one of those canned foods, because it has a bomb inside. And they're killing them. They're killing them with canned foods laced with explosives that go off when you pop the top. That's the truth. Here's another one. If that isn't bad enough, if that's not bad enough, they're also now taking candy bars and putting explosives in the candy bars. And they're blowing up and killing little children. I've got the stories up in headlines right now. Take a look.
Rents.com is my go-to site. That's my go-to.
Well,
it's just so exasperating. But one good news is this. I have a friend who is Palestinian, And he grew up in, it was either Hebron or Ramallah, I can't remember. But at any rate, he moved to, he has a house in Tunis, and he calls me and he writes to me regularly. And he's able to read Hebrew because he grew up, you know, in Hebron. And he told me the latest from government statistics that he can read is that already 200,000 Israelis have left, and they're not coming back.
There's another story that
there.
Yeah, Scott Ritter is now saying that Israel will collapse at the end of this war. He may be right.
It's going to take some time. I don't think. It will collapse. My dad saw it, but I don't think it's going to be right away.
Not next week. Not next year. But it's on the way. We'll see what happens. Will they take everyone with them?
200,000 Israelis leaving, and no one's going there anymore. Called Aliyah. Well,
you have a lot. There's another story to balance that out, though. This is interesting. A flood of Jews have now fled Russia and moved to Israel. So
no way.
Those who are leaving, I'll send you the story.
It's a lie. The Russian Jews who went there started going back to Russia 10 years ago.
That's
a total lie.
All right, I'll send it over to you. Just FYI.
Yeah, I have contacts there who are Russian Jews who became Orthodox Christians, but they did it quietly or else they'll lose their subsidies. And a lot of them have gone back, and they told me, brother, a lot of the Jews who didn't convert to Orthodox Christianity have gone back too.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's get this. I'll pull this story down then.
No, leave it up. I mean, let's look at all sides. I say don't pull it down. Leave it up, Jeff.
If it's not 100% fiction, I will. All right, we'll leave it up. Okay, I'll send it over to you.
The guy can't stand that I see sometimes, and forgive me, you sometimes put this Michael Snyder on. He's been making predictions since the year 2000. Not a single one has come true. And he's in the evangelical camp. I can't stand him. He's a pro-Israel dude all the way.
Got it. All right. You be well. Keep up the good work. Be safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
We're on the same team.
Okay. Thanks much. You take care. Talk soon. All right. There he goes, Brother Nathaniel Kapner. Whew. Wednesday. Back with you tomorrow on Thursday as we work through the week. Take care, and you still have a little time to put hopefully some food aside. Numana.com is the best. Get what you can. Talk to you tomorrow.